the Batmobile. Let's go.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's comic book FNG.
Didn't he let shit slip once?
Cap doesn't, no.
Did Cap, are you asking if he pooped his pants? No.
They are tight pants.
I'm sure it would be a disaster. Just a brown swipe.
It'd fill his boots.
Red and blue.
Yeah, you gotta think about it. Like, Hulk probably poops.
You think so? Like, in Hulk form?
Yeah.
What are Hulk poops like?
Big probably and green. Probably a shade of green.
Yeah. You think they're hard?
They're mad. They're mad shits.
Like, would he poop pellets?
Pellets?
I think they'd come out as, like, fists.
Jesus. The poop fist.
Oh. My God.
And it punches a hole in the ground.
Oh, so he just poops in the ground?
So he poops forever. He's the Hulk.
Does he stop to poop, or does he just poop while he's moving like a cow?
He could probably use it to, like, jump, you know? Like, he, like, leaps and then, like, lands, like, kind of, like, ass first and just
poops.
Fires like a jetpack.
Like a rocket jump?
Yeah. Yeah, he can use it as, like, a double jump.
It's a shit jump. It's a poop jump. The Hulk poop fist. This is what happens when you guys get high first.
Yes.
You not
talk
true.
About the Hulk poop fist for 5 minutes.
But you go right along with us, and you're sober, so.
Yeah. So?
You're partially responsible, John.
Yes, it's your fault.
Fuck you and your Hulk poop fist. I'll smack you open hand on the mouth.
That's a question I would have asked Stanley if I could have met him.
Oh,
like, what kind of poop the Hulk has?
Yeah, like, does the Hulk poop, and if so, what style? How does he go about it?
I can picture you in the like the panel room with Stanley up there with fucking Mark Ruffalo and all them. And
yeah,
this question is towards Mr. Lee and Mr. Ruffalo. Does the Hulk poop, and if so, what shape and consistency? And PSI does it come out at?
And side note, can he use those poops as rocket propelled double jumps if necessary?
Is his stool an ability?
Oh, God. Well, it's the same kind of thing. Like, Hellboy poops. Do you think his poop, like, burns stuff?
I bet they have horns. You know, it's just like a perfect little coil with horns.
That's the last thing to come out. Yeah. The horns.
And they
the
land
tail.
Like decoratively, like a cupcake.
You got to wonder how many toilets Superman's been through.
Oh, man.
Because he's got super poop. And pee. How did he knock up Lois Lane without shooting a hole in her?
How did she not die? Yeah, that's a good question. These are the important questions.
I mean, Mary Jane dies from Spider-Man's cum.
Was it radioactive?
Yeah, she gets cancer.
Oh, my.
That's canon, too.
That's
that
not fun.
That's sad as fuck.
Do you want to do the dad voices? Every episode?
Yes. Kay. I think so.
Okay. Well, let us know when we're recording.
We're recording.
We've been recording this whole time?
Yeah. I thought you knew that.
Like, the entire... How much do we have recorded already?
7 minutes, 34 seconds.
There's
some gold in there, my friend.
But we need to, okay, fuck.
There is some gold in there.
That's seven. Okay, well, let's
we
do
have
the
a whole poop conversation that's quite oh, compelling. God. That could be like a lost episode Ooh, right there.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's start the intro.
I concur.
Dad noises.
We're 8 minutes in. We don't need any fucking dad noises.
All right, welcome to Comic Book FNG. My name is Will. I'm joined by John to my left.
Me.
And Joni to my right.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
And today we are going to be talking about Hellboy. You know, to start, we're going to talk about, you know, just kind of his bio, where he's coming from, you know, the movies.
Character bio and fictional bio.
Yep.
And we'll talk a little bit about the movies. Well, I will talk about the movies because you guys haven't seen them.
I've seen them years ago, so I will interject what I remember.
Yes.
And then we'll also dive into a comic book series of Hellboy that we've been reading. The first
issue of
issue.
Darkness Calls.
That's what I was looking
that's
for.
That's what we're going with.
Yep. Thank you for the save. But we'll go into that and kind of read a review about that. And kind of give our opinions on that one, and then we'll wrap it up there. So if you want to start out with his background a little bit.
Yeah, so let's start out with, hold on, I'm going to Wikipedia this. So our sources for this episode are Wikipedia.com, Google, and the actual issue of Hellboy.
Yep.
Because I own the physical issue. So his how do you want to say it? His publication history? Not publication history. His publication bio, like not the fictional character bio. Hellboy is a fictional superhero created by writer-artist Mike Mignola. The character first appeared in San Diego Comic-Con's comics number 2. Hold on. San Diego Comic-Con makes comics?
Yeah. When I was doing my background research into him, I was kind of taken aback by that. Originally, he was just like a cover photo. Like, he was just a character on the cover of a comic. And then they finally put him into that comic, the comic Comic-Con issue number 2. And then after he got a little bit more popular there, Dark Horse took him. Because they originally wanted to take him to DC, but DC didn't want to involve Hell and shit. So they just took him to Dark Horse and produced him independently, and he was very popular from there. So
I'll be damned. So the character first appeared in San Diego Comic-Con Comics number 2, August 1993, and has since appeared in various... Okay, I'm going to work on this word here. Eponymous. Producer?
Eponymous.
Miniseries, one-shots, and intercompany crossovers. The character has been adapted into 3 live-action feature films, 2 starring Ron Perlman in 2004 and 2008 in the title role, and 1 in 2019, which starred David Harbour. If you don't know David Harbour, he played Hopper in Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Yeah. Sheriff Hopper.
Love him.
Was it Sheriff Hopper?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought he was the chief.
Yeah, it is Chief.
Chief Hopper?
Yeah. Right, Sheriff Chief?
Sheriff Chief is not a thing.
I don't know.
Chief Sheriff?
Chief Sheriff?
Chief Jeep Grand Cherokee?
Okay. As well as 2 straight-to-DVD animated films and 3 video games, which I didn't know about. Asylum Seeker, The Science of Evil, and as a playable character in Injustice 2. I have played Hellboy in Injustice 2, and he sucks. Well, I suck at the game. The character's probably fine, but I'm terrible.
Well, you'll get there, Jumbo.
So before I jump into the fictional character biography, I'd like to talk about the movies a little bit. So you've seen the 2004, the Del Toro movies.
Yep.
So the first Del Toro movie is the first iteration of Hellboy movie we get.
Mm-hmm.
And it first takes place in the 1940s where were they? Some island, and it's the Nazis and fucking Rasputin, and he's got this cool like steampunk machine, and they open up this portal, and through the portal Rasputin is trying to pull these Cthulian-esque gods. There's like 7 of them, and he's trying to pull them through the portal into our realm so they can take over the earth or some shit. But they're out in space like in ice,
right?
Let that sink in. They're in like ice blocks in space. So that I wonder if they aren't in our dimension or if they are in our dimension. What do they need the portal for?
That's a tough one. I think it might be an alternate dimension. That's yeah, because they pull out Hellboy and he's
So that makes sense. They don't get any of the gods through, but they do get something that comes through, which is Hellboy.
Yeah.
And he's like a 3-foot basically a red monkey with a giant big red hand. And what was his name? Trevor?
Yeah.
Trevor Broomfield? Trevor Broom? Oh, shit.
Dr. Broom, right?
Dr. Broom. Well, he adopts Hellboy and raises him as
Trevor
his own.
Brutenholm.
Trevor Broomholm?
Brutenholm.
Brutenholm?
Brutenholm.
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 Very German.
Mm.
Brutenholm. I can't remember my house.
Brutenholm.
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 Okay. That's enough about his name. Trevor Brutenholm. Brutenholm. Who becomes Dr. Broom or Professor Broom. And he's played by, I always get these two mixed up. John Hurt?
Yes.
Or William Hurt?
William Hurt is the American actor, I believe. John Hurt is the British actor. Okay, so, John Hurt, he's the one that, think of, No, it's gone.
Yeah. Nope.
Did you see The Day of the Doctor? The episode, the Doctor Who collective episode?
No, I'm not there yet, man.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll go with John Hurt. Fuck. Okay. So John Hurt plays Broom. Ron Perlman plays Hellboy. We've got Selma Blair, who plays, I don't remember her name, but she's the fire starter. So she's got pyrotechnic powers,
yeah.
Or yep. Pyrokinetic powers.
Mm-hmm. Pyrokinesis.
It's actually really cool. And I don't know who plays Rasputin, but I like the actor. And then Doug Jones plays Abe Sapien, who is, he's called like an ichthyosapien.
He's like the missing link, right?
He's a fish person.
Yeah.
He's a fish person.
Didn't they call him a missing link, though, in the movie?
Maybe. I don't remember. It's been a while since I watched the first one.
Yeah.
I don't remember the missing link part. But they found him basically in a jug, and it's just got Abe Sapien by it, and that's just his name, and he's an ichthyosapien. So they call him Abe. But he's got, like, these telepathic powers with his suction hand and shit.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
He has to wear a suit because he's got gills, right?
Yeah.
So he's got to have
so
water.
He's got, like, a water suit around his neck.
Yeah.
And the whole story revolves around Rasputin coming back from the dead because of this Nazi chick that he gave immortal life to, and then her crony, I think his name is Cronenberg, something like that. But he's basically immortal because he has no blood left. It's all just dust and gears, and he like winds up his heart and shit. It's pretty cool,
dude.
So they bring Rasputin back by killing a Sherpa, and Rasputin comes back. He's all magical and shit, and they basically want Hellboy because he is the bringer of the apocalypse, more or less.
Like it's prophesied that he will destroy the world, right?
Yeah. With his red right hand. Mm-hmm. There's actually a cool song about his red right hand.
It's called The Right Hand of Doom, right?
Fuck, I don't know.
Pretty sure.
I didn't look that deep into it. Anyway, so the basis of that first movie is getting to Hellboy. There's the whole Samael Hound of Resurrection bit, which is cool. It's like this dog thing monster that you can't kill, and if you do kill it, two more rise when it dies. It's super cool. And they end up, I don't know if they kill her, but they take Selma Blair's character and knock her out or kill her or something to persuade Hellboy into accepting his role to shove his hand in this cool monolith thing. And he opens the portal up again and starts bringing the gods through. His horns grow out. He's got the flaming crown and everything. It's super cool. And then Rasputin says something to him. Or no, the BPD agent says something to him. And he, like, snaps back into it and kills Rasputin by stabbing him with one of his horns that he pulled off and broke off. And then this, like, tentacle, like, god thing comes out of Rasputin's belly. And then he has to kill that, too. And then threatens the Angel of Death to bring Selma Blair back. And then the movie ends. So that's the first movie. Yeah, a lot happens. A lot happens. One of my favorite quotes from the first movie is, there are things that bump in the night, and they're the ones that bump back. John Hurt says that. It's so great.
Dude.
Another great scene is between him and Myers, is the agent that got transferred into the BPD. And they're saying something about when Hitler died, and John Hurt says Hitler died in, like, 1956, and Myers comes in and says, no, he didn't. He died in 1945. And John Hurt turns around and cracks a smile. He's like, did he now? And then they just continue on with the tour. It's just a funny little bit. Yeah. The second one deals with, it gets a lot more into the mystical world with the troll market and elementals and all these other fairy creatures that are around the world. They go around the world. They go to Ireland and all these cool places. You get to see the Angel of Death. They're fighting with this elf guy that was a king before the movie, or was a prince before the movie. And then his sister, Nuada, is the princess. He kills their dad. And it's cool, when they die, they turn to stone or like marble.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. And it's all about the Golden Army. So he needs to get the Golden Army. And there was a crown that controlled the Golden Army that was created by dwarves underground, all out of gold, and they're an indestructible army. and he needs the three crown pieces to control the Golden Army to take back the world for the fairy creatures, more or less, the mythical creatures. And he gets the crown pieces together, like each had their own piece. The elves had, I think, two pieces, and the humans had one piece. So he gets all three pieces, and this whole bunch of shit happens, and eventually he does reawaken the Golden Army, and Hellboy beats it by killing him. Well, actually, no, Hellboy doesn't kill him. Nuada kills herself, and since they're twins, they're, like, paired. And since she kills herself, the prince dies.
Damn.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. And then the third movie, I don't remember the director. It wasn't Del Toro.
The reboot?
Yeah, the reboot with David Harbour. It was decidedly more violent. Didn't make as much sense, but it apparently follows one of the story arcs in the comics. I don't know which story arc. Mm. But it was the rise of the Blood Queen. So Mila Jovovich plays the Blood Queen. And she was chopped up by King Arthur. She's immortal, so she can't die. She was chopped into pieces by King Arthur and put into like six or seven wooden boxes that could only be opened by someone pure of tongue, so like a monk or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they were hidden in these monasteries where the guys have taken vows of silence, so they won't talk, so they can't, you know, let her out, really. And thousands of years pass. She gets brought back by a troll man or warthog man thing. That Hellboy. So have you ever heard of the stories of fairies swapping out babies?
Yeah.
For like a creature baby? I don't remember what they're called. They have a name, I just can't remember them.
Oh man.
But it was one of those situations. And this was back early in Hellboy's career, back in like the 80s. And he kicks this kid out, and he got stuck in warthog form, pig form or whatever. And then the kid that he saved comes back in later in the movie as a medium. She's a very powerful medium.
Mm.
And she's pretty cool too. She can like punch people and knock their souls out of them.
Holy shit. Yeah,
it's pretty nuts. And then the Blood Queen kills Broom, and Hellboy, being a blood relative of King Arthur, can take the Excalibur out of the stone and brings about the apocalypse to Earth, and we see all these demons come out of the ground and start killing a bunch of people, and it's super awesome. And then he turns and kills the Blood Queen. Well, he doesn't kill her. He chops her head off and then throws her into the Earth.
That doesn't
kill her?
Nope. No. She's just doomed to immortality in, like, lava. You gotta wonder, if you're immortal, but your body gets destroyed, are you just like an immortal ghost at that point?
Right.
Like a thought.
And you just consciousness floating in lava forever?
Yeah. Would she become the lava at some point?
Or would she be able to float out of the lava?
That would be kind of cool, like sentient lava. Yeah. Does she become the planet then?
I don't know.
So should we not?
Depends on how far into the planet she goes.
What if she like takes over the core?
Well, then we're fucked.
You think so?
In the words of Ricky from Trailer Park Boys, we're fucked. I apologize. I've been watching a lot of Trailer Park Boys lately. So that finishes up that movie. And those are the only movies I know of. I haven't seen the animated movies at all, nor have I played the games. I did play as Hellboy in Injustice, and it was all right, but I suck at that game. So to his fictional bio... Hellboy, or his real name, Anung Unrama, which comes into play in the first movie,
mm-hmm.
as he was called, was conceived on October 5th, 1617, the day his birth mother, Sarah Hughes, a human woman, was on her deathbed. In life, Sarah was a witch who gained her powers from being a consort of the archdemon Azael, an archduke of hell, and Hellboy's biological father. Taking Sarah's body to hell when she attempted to repent on her deathbed within a church in East Bromwich, England, Azael burned her away so their child would be born, and chopped off the newborn's right hand to replace it with the right hand of doom. Oh, you might have been right. Right hand of doom. A relic tied to the Ogru Jahad. That's okay. So those are the gods in the first movie. The tentacle Cthulhu gods. Those are the Ogru Jahad.
Okay.
I forgot the name. When the other princes of hell learned of his actions, Azael sent his half-demon child away while he was stripped of his powers and imprisoned in ice. like Lucifer in Dante's Divine Comedy. The child is eventually summoned to Earth in the final months of World War II by the mad monk Grigory Rasputin on... Oh, shit, I didn't know the first one really followed the origins. Grigory Rasputin on Ptarmigant Island off the coast of Scotland and has been commissioned by the Nazis to change the tide of a losing war, Project Ragnarok. Man, this is all over the place. As a direct result of this ritual, the child appears on Earth in a fireball at what remains of the ruined Bromwich Church on December 23rd, 1944. Proving not to be a devil in the traditional sense, but a devil-like creature, the child was dubbed Hellboy by Professor Trevor Broom Brutenholm. Taken by the United States Armed Forces to an Air Force base in New Mexico, Hellboy is raised by Professor Trevor Brutenholm in as normal a home environment as possible, and as a Catholic, and the United States Army where the Bureau for Paranormal Research and Defense, the BPRD, a private organization dedicated to combating occult threats, begins. Due to the success of his first mission in 1952, Hellboy is granted honorary human status by the United Nations and becomes a member of the BPRD as the world's greatest paranormal investigator. As such, Hellboy interacts regularly with humans, primarily law enforcement officials, the military, and various scholars of the weird, most of whom are not presented as overly reacting to his strange appearance. His strange appearance being the shaved horns that we referred to.
And the
earlier.
Red skin.
And the red skin and the tail.
And the exaggerated facial features.
Yep.
The eyes.
Yeah. He looks very cavemanish, I want to say.
Yeah.
But he, since we didn't mention it actually on the episode. So the look of Hellboy, he does have big ass horns. And they like go up and curl around the back of his head, and he's got like a flaming crown and everything. And so what he does is he breaks off his horns and then files down the stumps so he looks more human. That's Hellboy's shtick. That's mm-hmm. why he looks like he's got two rocks on his head.
And also, basically. When he breaks off the horns, the ring of fire, the crown of fire goes away as well, right?
I don't know. I don't know if the crown of fire is just when he's like taking his super Hellboy form. We'll call it hot Hellboy. or if it's just tied to the horns.
Because
if he's got his crown, that means like the world is ending.
Oh.
Because he is the harbinger of death. Like, he's the harbinger of the apocalypse. And will... They show it in the 2019 movie. He's basically just slaughtering millions of people. It was like a vision or something that happened. He was riding a dragon. And there was, like, Iron Maiden playing in the background. And he was just killing hundreds of people.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was a pretty nuts scene. So that is the bio of Hellboy. So we're going to actually talk about the issue now. Which was written by Mike Mignola and penned by, what was his name again?
Duncan Figredo.
And I gotta say, Duncan Figredo is so far my favorite comic book artist. His designs are simplistic, but beautiful, and I just love it. I love his style, absolutely. So if he's ever listening, we'll tag him on Twitter or something. Fantastic.
Great job, man.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So, to delve in. So this was actually the first Hellboy comic I read, and coincidentally the first actual comic I ever read, and one of the comics that inspired this podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, because I was such a fucking new guy when it came to FNG, when it came to reading comics, and that was my first one. I thought, well, other people are FNGs. Let's start the podcast.
Yeah. Nice.
So, origins of the podcast.
Aha.
The series was published by Dark Horse Comics in 2007. The story starts in Italy, somewhere underground. We see a hooded figure standing by a stone basin filled with what we assume is blood. He is summoning something, the Queen of Night, and dipping his hand into the blood. He continues to the summoning ritual while drawing strange runes or symbols on the ground around the basin. He finishes the ritual on the phrase, "I command thee," which is never a good way to start a summoning demonic or powerful things ritual.
Right.
Because, you know, they just don't like it.
It's like, what the fuck?
Animals start freaking out, and this red smoke starts billowing from the basin. Suddenly, a sinister-looking statue shows up behind him. "Command," she says, her statement dripping with malice. He's startled, and he turns and, like, drops to the ground, starts groveling to her, claiming that he's her humble servant. "I would not have you in my service," she continues. Now, this part I was slightly confused by. The character looks like a sarcophagus, but it's talking. And it looks like one what did you say it was earlier? Yeah. It's a torture device.
Iron Maiden.
Yeah, the sarcophagus with all the spikes on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like an Iron Maiden. But this is another, it's another issue that I think I attribute to not being familiar with the Hellboy characters. Because this was literally the first comic I read.
Right.
So, yeah, I wasn't familiar with it at all. But also, this is really where that artwork really starts to shine through and show just how beautiful this simplistic artwork can be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The story continues with the hooded character showing that he is half reptile and half man. Like, he's straight up half lizard.
Right. He's got a tail.
Lizard tail and, yep, like, lizard feet and everything. It's weird. He proceeds to bind the queen, which she does not take well. He binds her by saying the phrase, "I bind thee by the four corners of the earth, by the sun, your enemy, and by thine own secret name, Ilsa Halpstein." Upon uttering her name, she flees back and crashes against the wall, and by this time, there's no longer a sarcophagus. Like, she melded from a sarcophagus into a chick.
Mm-hmm.
However that happens.
We could just frame by frame.
You know, magic.
Right.
Yeah. It happens off frame.
Right.
So...
just 1 second she's a sarcophagus, the next second she's
sexy lady,
sexy time.
I don't know what it is about comics. Like even the, what is it? The queen of, where is it? She's a queen of something, queen of darkness or something, and she's still like super fine.
Yep.
I don't get it about comics.
That's just the way it is, man.
Except for the hags. Like once they hit a certain age. Then they just become hag-like.
Just get hit by a semi-truck.
Yeah, but the semi-truck of ugly. But before that, they're like super fine their entire lives.
Right.
I don't understand it.
Comic books.
Comic books. She asks how he got her name. "You were betrayed," he says. This is really where I fell in love with Mignola's storytelling. It has a very mythical and mystic feeling. And I really dig it.
Right. Right. So at this point, he brings a candle to a skeleton against the wall. He mentions her lover. And in the next panel, he shows a darkened picture of the skeleton facing her, whispering Ilsa, making us think that there's some kind of sentience to the body.
And I think the skeleton is her lover. What's inferred, mm-hmm, in this situation.
So, next, from here, we jump to England, what looks like Stonehenge. A crow flies and lands in the middle of two old women saying, "Well met, my sisters."
The hags from earlier.
Right?
"Well met, my sisters."
Fucking talking crows. They were asking, "You found it?" as the crow changes into a woman. Near a certain castle, apparently the castle from Hellboy, Wake the Devil.
I looked that up, actually.
Yeah?
I believe it is from Wake the Devil. Oh, okay. And I think I have Wake the Devil. I didn't bring it, but I think, ooh, I have it.
We should probably do an episode someday.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. A wood with a clearing burnt back. I really like this imagery. It gives everything a really nice, you know, cool feel. And it kind of changes the dynamic from the beginning to
this
part.
It's very mystic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there, forgotten, a pair of broken horns. Now... from what I know of Hellboy, you know, he does, you know, have the big ass horns. He breaks, yeah, them off, and in the story, it's looking like, you know, she says one to keep and one to carve, and I can only assume that they're trying to use some of Hellboy's horns because he grows them back. So you know, there has to be more than just two lying around. So they're trying to use these as like ritual ingredients or something like that.
I wonder if that's why he started sanding them down.
Right. So like he...
like maybe he initially broke them off and then people got a hold of them.
And you can
were
use
able
them.
To use them for spells and shit. Because, yeah, I would assume they're powerful magical devices.
Right.
Like in Tenacious D, Pick of Destiny, when they get that chunk from Satan's horn or tooth. Was it his tooth?
It was his tooth.
They get the chunk from his tooth and they were able to use it as a bong. No, it was his horn because it was a bong. They made it a bong.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the Pick of Destiny.
That was his tooth.
Yeah.
But the bong was made from his horn.
Oh. Yeah.
And they get, it's like a magical bong.
No shit.
So I would assume Hellboy's horns are powerful magical items.
Do you think the, right, witches are making magical bongs?
It's possible. I mean, they're English, so who knows? Is there a lot of weed smoking in England?
Is that a thing? I couldn't tell you.
I don't know.
America was founded on prudes, so we're kind of prudish about everything, especially when it comes to nudity.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, England, they have tits on TV. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Who knows?
They literally, when she says one to carve, they literally have a panel showing her holding a small red carving of the upper torso of Hellboy, carved out of what I can only assume is one of his horns.
So I wonder if it's like a voodoo thing.
It may be.
Or maybe a summoning thing?
Yeah, because that actually kind of goes into what happens next. Because in the next part, we jump to inside a house. We get our first look at Hellboy in this comic. He's sitting in a bathrobe in a high back chair next to a fireplace, and he's talking to another character named Harry. And Harry is also called his cousin. He references himself as his cousin. I'm not honestly too sure about that part. You know, as far as I knew, Hellboy didn't have any family. I think Joni was saying something about him being an adopted cousin or something, like a friend of the adopted father.
He's a friend of Hellboy's adoptive father.
Yeah, so he just calls himself cousin maybe or something?
Yeah, and what I was thinking is Harry was part of the U.S. deployment onto that island, who was originally there when Hellboy was found.
Right.
And that's why he's like a family friend. So he just grew up around Harry. Because Harry is considerably older than...
Yeah, he's an old man.
I mean, he looks older. But well, Hellboy is old 60 as fuck,
as well.
Too.
Yeah, they're probably the same.
But Hellboy
age,
doesn't
maybe.
Age like humans do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. To continue on.
Alrighty. So, they were talking about how Hellboy was apparently, you know, with Harry for a month. And, you know, this probably was leading off of that previous story because... in this panel, they're also showing the three old women whispering Hellboy into the carved horn. And also the horn starts to levitate as this continues on. So they're definitely doing something with it. And
they're
Hellboy,
manipulating him.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why he gets up to leave.
Mm-hmm. So it is voodoo-ish.
It is.
It's not full voodoo, but it's ish.
The only thing I can't say is whether or not they are the same three that he meets later on in the issue.
Right.
It's hard to say. I don't think it is them, though.
Yeah, because they weren't hags.
Still, though.
They weren't like witches.
We'll get to that part, though. Anyways.
So, Hellboy remarks that he basically washed up on Harry's doorstep. And Harry remarks that he's glad that it happened because it makes them reminisce about the good old days and stuff that happened back in the past. So, with that, you know, my curiosity was definitely piqued because... You know, I didn't know anything about Harry. I didn't know anything about any of that stuff. So that kind of opens up a whole nother door into what Hellboy has done before. And like you said, this is actually the first Hellboy comic I've ever read. So I'm really interested to see what else he's
yeah,
been
and,
into.
And this one was published in 2007. And right. Like we saw on Wikipedia, Hellboy's been around since 93.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of story arcs that have happened before this one. So there's a lot of history before... I wonder if Harry was in the first movie.
The old man?
He wasn't an old man, though. I wonder if he was the one that had doll hair.
He may have been.
Fuck, I don't know. I'll have to rewatch it.
Yeah, yeah dude, yeah. All right, so...
That's what I'm doing tonight.
Yes, I fully intended to.
Yeah.
So, from there, you know, they conclude talking, and we cut to a new landscape with pictures of some mysterious people singing or speaking a poem about a stormy night or something like that. There are a few more images of Hellboy and Harry talking, and Hellboy suddenly decides to go for a walk. And as Joni just mentioned, we know now that this is the three old hags chanting into his horn, manipulating him.
Yep.
So as he gets up, Harry decides to give him his old World War II 45 because... Hellboy mentions his iconic revolvers at the bottom of the ocean. This also made me feel like, fuck, what the hell happened to Hellboy?
Yeah, I
want to
read that story that put his so his revolver is actually really cool. They show it in the it's the one he uses in the movies, and they're fantastic. And it's like fucking massive.
Right.
And the bullets are probably the size. How do I want to put it? Like, you know, about the thickness of a shot glass or like a film canister.
Yeah.
That's how big the bullets are.
And they're like bullets, right?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. They're massive. He's also got bullets that he makes himself. He's got reliquary bullets that are like holy water, garlic shavings, and like shavings from some saint's bone. You know what a reliquary a reliquary is?
It sounds familiar. but
it's like a, if I remember correctly, it's a relic, basically, mm-hmm. or something that houses a relic.
A reliquary is a container for relics.
Yep.
They may be purported or actual physical remains of saints, such as bones, pieces of clothing, or some object associated with saints or other religious figures.
Hmm. Reliquary.
That's a more historical representation of a reliquary, but it's the same idea.
He's yeah, that's basically how it is in the
holy
in the
objects
comics
to
and the movies too.
Combat demons, right?
Hmm. Yeah.
There
yeah.
we go.
Like Hellboy itself is very, very mythical. So there's a lot of like, there's a lot of power to relics and stuff like that. Right. I know he carries some relics on him. He's got like a tool belt full of, you know, bat tools, but Hellboy tools.
Right.
And a lot of them are relics. He uses them in the first movie when he awakens the Russian zombie. He uses a relic to do that. And like a spell or something he says, and it awakes the dead. It was super cool.
Dude.
To continue on, I'm sorry.
Yes, no worries. So...
And the World War II 45, that also makes me think that Harry is a friend from when Hellboy first came through on our plane of existence.
Right? Yeah. That would make a lot of sense. I feel like that definitely ties in. So at this point, we have Hellboy walking through the woods, and we get beautiful imagery of the dark woods as we continue with the stormy poem.
Yeah, so like the how the panels are working, it's like we see the images of these beautiful dark woods and but it's like it's almost like a narration over if you had seen it like a movie, it would be, you know, beautiful B-roll scenes of these cool mythic places, but also with the narration of this stormy poem over it.
Right. So, and at this point, we still don't know who's speaking the poem. So Hellboy notices a shadow in the woods, and the last panel is a dead-looking face behind the branches. And next, he's set upon three travelers calling him the captain. And I think these were the people talking this stormy poem. And as they walked about, Harry Wood and... they talked about Harry Wood, and as they come to the place where they hung
Henry Hood.
They came to the place where he hung all the witches. And Henry Hood is actually a real person who hung witches in
either the English witch trials
or the American.
The Salem witch trials.
Yeah,
but he's in England, so I would assume the English witch trials.
So yeah. So he hung over 260 witches, and that's facts. That's real shit. I believe. So
between April of 1645 and October of 1646.
Wow.
So like a year and a couple months.
Holy 260. Shit.
That man
what
was
were the dates again?
April of 1645 and October of 1646.
That's about a year and a half. That's 260 innocent people killed in a year and a half.
That's a couple every day and a half.
Insane.
Jesus.
Oof. So get this though, they show flashbacks of him being cursed by three witches, and
who
how
I assume are the three witches that have the Hellboy horn that voodoo doll.
Yeah,
could
shit.
Be. Who knows?
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
So they catch this asshole in bed with a witch, and so they burn his eyes out with copper, and they bury him alive.
So and if people didn't know. One of the rituals, a lot of people's rituals, was laying two copper pieces over the eyes for the boatman.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be able to pay the boatman to ferry your soul to the land of the dead. I don't, over the River Styx.
River Styx, yeah.
I don't remember the boatman's name. He's got a name. I can't remember it. I think it starts with an I. So this is fucking brutal to burn his eyes out with copper.
Right. And then bury him alive. He wasn't dead.
Yeah.
So,
imagine going through that. Because you'd be alive when that happens. You'd be conscious. You would see the copper coming to your eye.
Oh, God. You'd probably
not
see...
many things make me physically cringe, but...
you'd like, probably see your eyes bubbling and shit.
You'd think they did one eye at a time.
Oh, yeah.
So like he could experience it and watch them pouring shit into one of his eyes.
And I feel like the other eye would go blind as well.
Oof, I don't know.
You know,
that just sounds painful.
Either
no
way.
Wonder he's crazy.
Yeah, fucking really, though. So, and it looked like the dead face behind the branches was Henry, showing himself in a beautiful panel, his eyes glowing orange from the copper. the three travelers stop, saying, "Here's the hour of the night, and here's the tomb." One of them flattens out on the ground. The last one pulls a vial out of his coat, saying, "Here's the juice." And he proceeds to rattle off what I assume is a spell while pouring drops of liquid onto the tomb. Hellboy gets rooted to the ground, and the three travelers start changing, their eyes glowing, speaking the last bit of the spell. "Secret black and midnight hags, the quick and the dead." The travelers look in Hellboy's direction then, and then say, "And you, Captain, they gather for you." And just as three dead-looking bodies explode from the ground.
Yeah, and I think they morph into the witches, because it says three hags.
Yeah.
So they must morph into the witches that have the Hellboy horn. But man, what a scene to end the comic. Because this is where the comic ends. So right. It's a huge cliffhanger that leads us directly into the next issue.
Doesn't Hellboy just end it with shit?
If I remember.
Damn.
Because he's getting pulled into the ground.
Damn.
It's fucking awesome. Oh, I love this guy's artwork. It's so great.
Oh, yeah.
This comic's got a special place in my heart. Because, like I said, it's the first one I read. I'm a huge Hellboy fan. I love it. And just the art style, the way the art moves the story along, the way the story moves with the art style, the mythicness to the story is fantastic, and I just love it. And I can't wait to do issue 2.
Oh, man. That's going to be great.
Keep getting deeper into the story.
Oh, I can't wait either.
Yeah. So that's Hellboy Darkness Calls. That's the first issue.
Highly, highly recommend. It's a great read.
Yeah. So we've got quite a bit on the docket. We've actually got the next like year planned out for Comic FNG. We've got our Hellboy episode today. It's the 6th, so you'll probably hear it tomorrow, the 7th. In here a couple weeks, we've got a Judge Dredd episode coming. We've got a Naruto episode coming, since Naruto was a
manga,
right?
Yeah.
Which is a Japanese comic book. Yep. So I'm going to let you guys spearhead that, because I don't know shit about manga.
Going to be great. I know more about the anime. I watched the entire anime, and I'm sure Joni over here's got the manga covered.
I couldn't do the anime.
No?
Nope.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Manga's way better.
There was a lot in there.
Oh, yeah.
I got a manga for Christmas.
It's incredibly well drawn, and like the fact that they had to do one issue a week, every week, for years on end. Like, it's insane the amount of work that they did.
That really lends credence to how anime came from manga, because they do the same thing. They do an episode a week.
I would say anime, I can't even say anything, because animation is still incredibly hard, but manga, I would say, has a much tighter deadline, and it gets ridiculous, like, the amount of work. Like, just drawing one panel, like, if Naruto's doing his, like, shadow clone jutsu, which is basically where he clones himself like a ton of times.
I have seen that.
You have to imagine one person has to do the line work for that character hundreds of times.
Jesus.
And then pass it on to someone else to do like the shading and the detail work hundreds of times. And that could just be one panel out of like a page. The artwork alone, it's astounding how they were able to accomplish the deadlines they had for what they were supposed to do.
So we'll probably how big are the books?
Like one volume, because you usually can't buy them in like individual issues like you can like standard American comic books. You usually buy them by the volume. They're about $10 a volume, and I would say it has like, is it four issues volume? I think it's usually about four issues a volume. Issues tend to be a little bit longer than American comic books, but
Like 30 to 40 pages per issue.
Yeah, I would say it comes up to about 100-120 page book.
Okay,
typically
so
it's
we'll
pretty
probably
short.
We'll probably do an episode or two on Naruto, and we'll do like the first manga and kind of the history of Naruto.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we're doing the second issue of Venomverse. One of my first episodes was a Venomverse episode. I think episode 3 was Venomverse, and I covered the first issue. We're going to be doing the second issue, and it's going to be the same kind of form structure as this. We've got a DBZ or Dragon Ball Z episode coming, because that was apparently also a manga.
Mm-hmm.
Which I did not. Did all of these anime start as mangas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Manga?
Almost. I would say 90% of the time it's a manga before it is an anime, with some few exceptions here or there. I think Cowboy Bebop was an anime, and
it's my favorite all time anime.
Like Fooly Cooly was an anime. Samurai Champloo was an anime. Mm-hmm. Akira was a manga before it was an anime. So.
Which is by and large one of the best anime movies ever made.
100%.
So after DBZ, we're actually going to be bringing in a fourth host on that one. I may actually just produce that episode. I may not be on it. but we'll have Josh coming in to help with Dragon Ball Z. We've got Civil War 1 and 2 coming. So we're going to do a couple episodes on the first Civil War series and a couple episodes on the second Civil War series. And then, Joan, you're going to be doing a Doctor Doom episode.
Because Doctor Doom is the greatest.
I don't know shit about Dr.
He's amazing. Like, he has one of the most interesting, like, wiki articles ever. Like, the amount of things Dr. Doom has done is absurd.
The only thing I know about Dr. Doom is he's kind of like an anti-villain.
Yeah.
And
he's a villain's villain.
Most of the things he does are just to further his own country of Latveria.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. Like, he's not just truly evil, but except maybe when he becomes God Doom.
He's very Thanos self-serving. Once.
What?
He straight up pulled Thanos' spine out of his body.
It's like three panels with no text, and it's amazing.
Whoa.
It's just like... and Jesus. Thanos disintegrates.
Oh my god, I want to see it.
That
so
was
bad.
Secret Wars, if I'm not mistaken.
Whoa. Probably one of them.
Because it was like there was like a follow-up to like the Infinity Gauntlet kind of stuff.
And news about the Infinity Gauntlet series... Part 2 and 3 and possibly 4 are still coming, but Jeremy's got some stuff he's got to take care of, so we've put those episodes on pause until Jeremy's back with us, since he was on the first Gauntlet episode. So he's definitely working on his stuff, but he's definitely going to be back, and we're going to be able to finish those episodes. So after Doctor Doom, we've got an episode of the Celestials coming. So we're going to be talking about Galactus and Lords Chaos and Order and... Adam's not one of the Celestials, but so we're going to be doing the full Celestials episode. We're going to do a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles episode, because a lot of people don't know, but it did start as a comic, and it was actually a super dark comic. It was super dark and super violent, and I don't remember who published the Ninja Turtles. I think it might have been Dark Horse,
Was it? Either what comes to my mind is Dark Horse or Image.
I think Image Comics was what DC was before it was DC.
Really?
Is Image Comics a still thing?
I don't know.
We're getting a slight nod from Joan. So he's in charge of Googling everything.
So originally, the Ninja Turtles was published by Mirage Studios, followed by Image Comics, then Archie Comics, and now currently it's IDW Publishing.
I've never heard of IDW. I've never heard of, like, three of those.
Archie Comics?
Yeah. Is that...
That's Archie.
Like Archie? Like Archie?
Yeah. Like Archie the shit you find in, like, the grocery store aisles?
Yeah.
Like Richie Rich and all that?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and get our hands on the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comics, which were black and white. I think there were only, like, 5 or 6 issues before they started making the cartoon. And then there's 2 more episodes we're going to try to do to round off the year. We're going to do our first DC episode. We're going to cover Frank Miller's Batman Year 1. I do actually have that issue, so we can all read that. And then we're going to do a Pokemon episode, because also Pokemon started as a manga. Am I saying it right? Manga or manga?
It's manga.
Manga?
Manga.
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 Manga. Manga.
The G is silent. Manga.
Manga, yes.
No manga.
I originally called it hentai, so I'm doing better. So I got Joan some manga for Christmas. And when I was in the bookstore, I asked him where the hentai was. Because I thought it was fucking called hentai. And the first person I asked was a chick.
Oh,
and
no.
Man, did she judge me with her eyes, I'll tell you what. And then there was a guy like next to her that was stocking the shelves, and he was like the typical manga hentai guy, and he like perks up. He's like, "I know where it is." I'm like, "Oh fuck, I said it wrong tonight." He's just like, "Yeah, it's called manga, man." I'm like, "Fuck." I just asked this attractive woman where the hentai was. Oh, that was embarrassing.
You just asked a woman for pornography, my friend.
Yeah.
Normally, I wouldn't be ashamed by that, but since it was hentai, for some reason, it was more shaming.
It's funnier.
I mean, it's not like you're going to walk up to an attractive store person and just ask them, hey, where is the anal gape porn?
I would.
So that's our episode list for the next year. And then our sister podcast, Monster Macaroni, has got a pretty extensive list, but we'll tell you about that on the next episode, which is coming up this weekend. We are going to do an abductions episode, Abductions of the Fourth Kind, and that's coming up this weekend.
Absolutely.
That's so if you guys want to hit us up, we're at comicfng.com, comicfng@gmail.com. What are we on Twitter? ComicFNG?
Coffee.
At ComicFNG.
Yeah.
What is the Instagram? Is it still Comic FNG or is it Comic Book FNG? I can never remember.
Pretty sure it's just
I'm Comic bad at FNG. Instagram. Let me look. You guys chat about
yourselves. We will put the proper links in the show notes.
Yes. And we will also learn our own links.
It is Comic FNG. So we are Comic FNG
yes.
on Instagram. And follow us and like us and review us and all that fun stuff.
Tell your moms about us.
Tell your moms about and your Joan. Daddies. And, you know, your dads. And friends, just share that shit.
Yeah.
Punch it. Well, don't punch it. Punch it with the like button.
Slam that like button.
Slam that like
button. Slam it gently.
How do they do it on YouTube?
Hit subscribe.
Guys, remember to hit that subscribe button. Hit that. Fuck, I hate that shit.
Don't forget to hit the bell icon for notifications.
The bell icon. We don't have any notifications, so we're just going to spam our shit on Twitter when we have a new episode. Yeah. God, I hate that YouTube stuff. Like, if I want to watch a gaming video, mm-hmm. I'll find one that doesn't. I would prefer a Twitch streamer that you can't hear. Like you maybe hear a reaction, like something happens in the story in the game, and you just hear a. That's all you get, or like he dies a bunch of times. He goes, "Shit, oh, fuck." That's all you hear.
You should watch like a speedrunner then.
I do like speedrunners because they don't talk.
Yeah,
and they speedrun.
They don't have time to talk.
Yeah, no,
they're just playing their game.
They're in it.
Yeah, those speedruns are great. Did you ever see that?
Oh, shit.
It's on Reddit Cringe. There's a girl at a speedrunning thing, and out of nowhere, she just starts talking about how she's, like, not going to live for the next 2 weeks or something. Like, she has cancer or some shit. And, I mean, if it's true, that really sucks. Like, I feel for you. But, bad timing.
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
Speaking of speedrunning, AGDQ started today.
Oh, did it?
It did.
Okay, so listeners, what day is today? 6th?
Yeah.
January 6th. Awesome Games Done Quick is starting today. When, where can you find it?
It's going to be live on Twitch. You can also go to AGDQ's website directly. It will be going on for the next 7 days. I believe it ends at like midnight on the 12th of January.
Is it constant or specific
time? It is constant, nonstop. I believe they might take like 1 or 2 hours out of the whole week to do some like maintenance stuff, but... Yeah, if you like donating to charities and watching people beat the crap out of games really fast, definitely check that out.
If you like awesome games done quick. I think that pretty much wraps up the episode.
It sure does.
Pretty solid. Right. And we're not going to have a fun name for this one. It's just going to be Hellboy.
Maybe.
Episode 1, Part 2.
What? All right, let's close it out there.